Thank you so much. If God be for us, who can be against us? God is on our side. There, I think probably in all of our lives, there are formative moments when things happen that we realize has changed in some way the course of our lives. I thought about one of those as I was preparing for today. Back in 1957, I believe it was, the Soviet Union launched Sputnik. How many of you remember that? Sure. If you were alive at that time, you certainly did. Because in that one moment, if you were an American, you felt the agony of the Soviet Union being a giant step ahead in the space race. But if you fast forward from that 4 years, on May the 25th, 1961, President John F. Kennedy made an historic address to Congress. Some of you will remember hearing at least excerpts from that. But the most memorable line for me is this line: "I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth." And I think for everybody it seemed impossible. I think for everybody that heard it, it was like, we can't do this. And of course, as you know, there's still some that think we never did. You know, that we concocted all those pictures and it didn't really happen. I think it did. But that's not what I'm pointing. The point is, they were captivated by this incredible purpose, and it was accomplished on the Apollo 11 mission. Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin landed their lunar module on the moon, walked on its surface. Michael Collins remained in lunar orbit in the command spacecraft, and all three of them landed safely on Earth July the 24th, 1969. What a moment. Let me take you to something I saw on the 30th of December, 2012. I don't know if any of you watched this, but it was, I think, historic. I think it was historic. Indeed, Scott Pelley, who is a commentator with CBS, Scott said, "We seldom use that word because it's abused and it's overused," but he used it in this instance. It was a story about some men and women who had what Bill Hybels would call the Popeye moment. That's all we can take. We can't take no more. And they saw what was happening as men and women were coming back from Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan or wherever it might be. But they were coming back and they had lost limbs or they had been severely injured and become paralyzed, whatever it may be, spinal injuries. And they just felt like, we've got to do something. And so things were put in motion several years ago now, I think about 4 or 5 years ago, as they began to seek to do something about that. And there was a story on 60 Minutes. And it was a story of a lady named Jan. Jan was a Pittsburgh mother of two and a writer. They showed her first on Wheel of Fortune. And she was this bubbly, bright, perfect person for a game show. And she was winning and it was wonderful. And she was just so vital. And then, not long after that appearance, just within a matter of 2 years, a genetic disease broke the connection between her brain and her body. And she's now 53 years of age. She can move only the muscles in her face and a few in her neck. But here's what it showed, and it was incredible to me. It showed her working because of things that they had implanted in her brain and the wires coming out, going to a robotic arm, and only with her thoughts, moving that arm, picking cookies up off the table, bringing them up to her mouth, shaking hands with Scott Pelley. And you could see he was visibly moved and rightly so. Showed a gentleman whose arm had been taken off just above the elbow because of cancer. With him, they didn't have to go into the brain. They knew where the nerve was that brought the signal from the brain to the hand. They tapped into that. They made him a hand, a prosthesis, if you will. They call it revolutionizing prosthetics or something like that. And that's amazing, but what's to me even more amazing, they put sensors in the fingers so that the signal goes back to the brain from the hand. They put him behind a screen. He put his hand through the screen. They put things in his hand and said, is that soft or hard? And because of the sensitivity, the message went back to the brain. And I told Debbie, I said, this is like Orville and Wilbur Wright when they first flew that plane for just a short distance. The only difference is we live in such an accelerated world. Listen, I'm telling you, it'll change the world. Oh, I got to tell you a quote because this is incredible to me. I love this and I'm going to keep this. Scott Pelley is interviewing Dr. Jeffrey Ling, a retired Army colonel and neurologist. Scott says, he said he told his team that he wanted a breakthrough within 5 years. Scott Pelley. Did any of them say, look, Colonel, we're not sure we can do this? Jeffrey Ling. Oh, absolutely. They thought we were crazy, but that's quite all right. Listen, because I think it's in our insanity that things happen. I love that quote. Two different instances where somebody's mission captured the hearts of the people that needed to be captured, and revolutionary change took place. And you say, where are you going with this? Well, I'm going back 2,000 years. You have your Bible? Go back to Acts chapter 1. And I wish you could hear this with the shocking sense of impossible. We read it sometimes and forget how impossible it really is. Acts chapter 1, written by Luke. You'll see that he refers to his gospel in the beginning. Let's begin with verse 1. I'm in Acts chapter 1, verse 1. And Luke says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive, after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled, and that word's kind of important, by the way. Don't read over it too quickly. Being assembled. Some things don't happen till you assemble. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Look up at the screen. Look up at the screen. I want you to read that verse with me again. Just that verse that begins with these words, verse 8, but you shall receive power. Everybody read it with me from the screens. Here we go. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, folks, let me tell you something. That's crazy. That's insane. Are you kidding me? This ragtag group of men and women, they're going to do this? They're going to do this? They're going to, in their lifetime, see the Christian faith, the way, explode over the known world? These men and women probably never traveled far from home. And yet they are being given the mission of changing the world. And if that's not crazy enough, they're being given the mission of changing the world by telling a story. Well, that's not how it's done. You want to change the world, you need some armies. You need some authority. You need some power. No. These guys and gals are going to do it by the simple, simple approach of telling a story. The story of a loving God sending His only Son to die on a cruel cross, to be buried, to be raised from the dead on the third day, to appear for some 40 days to many people, and then to ascend to the Father and send the Holy Spirit and someday coming back again. Tell Him the story, and if you tell the story and if you tell it faithfully in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to change the world. And we look at that and we say, that is not possible. But that's exactly what Jesus was proposing, and it's exactly what is happening. It really is. I mean, let's don't forget the fact that all around this world, people are still coming to faith in this once dead, now alive man named Jesus Christ. Pastor Andy Thornton and I start today a series titled, Why Church? Why Church? Can I just be a Christian by myself? I worship God better out on the golf course. Oh, put me in a fishing boat, man. Oh, I feel close to God there. I don't need church. In fact, I tried it, and it hurt my spirituality. You know, I found I was losing touch with God because of people. A lot of them Baptist. Why church? Why church? And today we lay the foundation of all of that with one word. Listen to me, church. With one word. The word is mission. We have been given this incredible mission. The mission of starting where we are, but never stopping where we are. It is a mission that is impossible without the power of God, and it is impossible without the unity of the body of Christ, the church. We will not fulfill the mission without all of us doing His or her own part. We certainly need one another. The battle against the enemy of our souls, against Satan, will not be won without mutual encouragement, unified praying, shared vision, and joyful accountability. The often used acronym for the word team, T-E-A-M, is this: together, everyone achieves more. Together. Why church? Because we have a mission. And it's my privilege today to stand before you and offer you the challenge and the opportunity of embracing this mission and giving your life to see this mission accomplished. We are to be witnesses to the world concerning the wonderful grace of God. It starts here, but it doesn't stop here. It includes my home, but it doesn't stop in my home. It includes my school or my work or my recreation or my neighbors or my friends, but it doesn't stop there. It includes my community and my city and my county and my state, but it goes beyond those borders. It includes my ethnic group, but it goes far beyond my cultural setting, including those who are very different from me, even those who are opposed to me, and even those who despise me. I dare to dream that this mission is possible. Dare to dream that we can see it coming true in our home, in our community, in our world. Why church? Why church? Why don't we just forget about it? Because if the church is forgotten, mission fails. You will not and we will not see this mission advance on the back of individual Christians as much as we will when we are a gathered community of Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you some encouragement. With this grand, life-changing, world-transforming mission, Jesus gives us something else. And it's the something else that He gives us that makes the seemingly impossible possible. In the text before us in Acts chapter 1, if your Bible's open, I want to show you two words. And they are absolutely key and they are absolutely connected. You see, we've got a purpose. We've got a mission, a purpose. And that purpose is to take the story, the gospel, the good news, to literally every people group in the world. And then in those people groups, they bear that message to one another. And through them, the word of Christ is spoken to the ends of the earth. But two words I want you to see. In verse number 4, being assembled, I want to emphasize that again. You know what the word church means literally in the New Testament, in the Greek? It just means assembly. That's it. Assembly. The assembly. The ecclesia. Okay. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the what? Say it out loud. Wait for the promise. Now, folks, you need to know what I'm saying here, and you need to understand what I'm saying, that it is impossible for us to fulfill the purpose of Jesus Christ without the promise of Jesus Christ. And the promise He's speaking about here is very clear if you look at the very next verse. In verse number 5, He said, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the what? Holy Spirit, not many days from now." So the promise in my translation, the New King James Version, the promise is capitalized. It's capital P. Why would it do that? Why would the translators do that? For a very simple reason. Because the promise is the promise of a person. And the person is the Holy Spirit of God. Turn back a few pages to Luke. Turn just in your own Bible, turn back to Luke if you will, and I want you to see what Luke says in near the end. Luke chapter 24, and you'll see the direct parallel, of course, and it will not surprise us, it's the same person writing. But I want you to look at Luke 24, and I want to start with verse 46. Luke 24, 46, here it is. He said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." Now watch this. "Behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from on high." And friend, we find out when we read our New Testament, Paul specifically in Galatians 3:14 makes it absolutely clear. This promise is not just for the Jews. It's for the Gentiles. That's me. That's probably you. The promise, in other words, is literally for the whole world. Jesus said, "I'm making you a promise. I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. Rather, I'm going to come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit, and it will be Me living in you in the person of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is another one exactly like Jesus Christ." And so you can say Christ in you, the hope of glory, or you can say the Holy Spirit in you. You can say God in you, because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have made their dwelling place in you. My friend, the promise is necessary for the purpose. We cannot fulfill the mission, not for one moment of our life, not for one day, not for one week, and certainly not for a lifetime apart from that promise. The mission is impossible without the person of the Holy Spirit. But with the Holy Spirit, we can say with the Apostle Paul, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, you go back to Acts, please. Go back to Acts, and I just want to show you the fulfillment of the promise. See, when God makes a promise, God keeps a promise. It may not be on your timing or mine, but it's going to happen. And so when you turn back to Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, verse 1, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. But when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya of joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed. So they were all amazed and what? And perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this be?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. These are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Here's what I want you to understand. God, through Jesus Christ, made a promise. And the promise is essential to the purpose. Now, I believe with all of my heart that the moment I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell me. He comes to indwell me. I'm regenerated by the Spirit. I'm indwelled by the Spirit. I'm baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. And I'm sealed by the Spirit for the day of redemption. I believe that. But listen to me, church, and listen to me, my Baptist brothers and sisters. We desperately need daily filling of the Holy Spirit in order to accomplish the purpose that God has given us. Apart from that person of the Holy Spirit, we will not accomplish our purpose. I said there were two words. Let me show you the other one. We're back in Acts chapter 1. Now, verse 4 said, to not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise. So that was the first word. The second word is directly correlated to the first one, but you see it in verse 8. You shall receive what? Power. You shall receive power. Oh, my friend, too much of my life I have lived without the fullness of that power. And I will say to you very clearly, I've not attained where I want to be. But I know this from the bottom of my heart. The power of God is not granted simply to make me feel good. The power of God is not granted to give me a shiver in my liver. That's not why the power of God's given to me. That's not why the person of the Holy Spirit comes and lives within me. The power of God in the person of the Holy Spirit is not given to me so that I can be holier than you and thumb my sanctified nose at your weakness. That's not the purpose of it. Listen to me carefully. The power of the Holy Spirit. The power is given for one reason, so that the church can achieve the impossible purpose that Jesus Christ has given us. Power. Oh, listen to me. How many of us want power, but we don't care about the person of the Holy Spirit? We just like to have some of our problems solved. We just want some of our things to get better, our finances to improve. We want to have our children behave, so give me the power. Listen to me, a lot of good things can come through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to understand the primary purpose of the person of the Holy Spirit living in the people, not just you, but in the congregation, is that we might be bold witnesses to the world. That's why. And the world starts right here. But it doesn't stop here. We just had our team come back from Thailand and Southeast Asia. I presume they're home now. I knew when they got back to San Francisco, and I assume they're here now. Thank God. You had a part, and I had a part, a little part, in that work around the world. But my friend, the neighbor next door, the people wherever you are, the places wherever you go, my friend, I want you to understand that Jesus would say to you at Mercy Hospital, I need people who will be witnesses for me. At Cox South, at Kickapoo High School, at Missouri State University, at Drury University, at Ozark Technical College, at Kraft, at any of the places where one might work, in the entertainment industry. I need witnesses. Jesus said, you are to be witnesses of me, and you start where you are, but you don't stop there. You say, I can't do it. Yes, we can, because of the person of the Holy Spirit and the power that He gives. Because here's what my Bible says, nothing is impossible with God. And I truly, truly have a heart and a dream and a passion that this mission will become our magnificent obsession. Why church? We have a mission that will only be accomplished through the person and power of the Holy Spirit, a mission that has not been given to anyone other than the church, a mission that requires the church gathered for worship and edification and scattered for witness and evangelism. Why church? Mission. Mission. Will we allow our hearts to be captivated by a cause so great we would never think of attempting it alone? Will we learn to walk in the Spirit and be bold witnesses for Christ and His work? So my prayer today is this, that I and that we will be with Christ on mission, living a Christ-centered life 7 days a week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, all of us at one time have lived small. Our circles have been drawn small. We've only had enough faith to pray for ourselves and perhaps our immediate family and a few other people. And yet, Lord, today, you would say to each and every one of us, erase the lines that you have drawn. Lengthen the cords. Strengthen the stakes. Stretch out your influence. Stretch out your witness to those people and those places where you have felt inadequate. Remembering that Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age or the earth. Father, I want to live large, not for my name's sake. I could care less about that. But I want to live large. I suspect that those key people in the 1960s went to their graves, many of them already, knowing that my life made a difference in that decade. I believe that those who are working right now with the revolutionary prosthetics, I believe they're going to go to their graves saying, I may not have accomplished everything I wanted to, but one thing I did, and it mattered. And Father, I pray that this church and this pastor and this leadership team and these elders and these deacons and these teachers and every single member of this church will see the mission as being worth giving our lives to. That everything else takes second place to loving God and fulfilling the mission He has given us in this world. I pray it in Jesus' name.